everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few.
Downtown at a railway station.
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are live in Kennesaw getting ready for CONCACAF. Leg two, and hopefully, Mike Bell, we can take care of business. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening. You want to come out and hang out before the match tonight? We welcome you. Specials on Reformation beers out here at Twin Peaks. So come on out, man. There's a variety of beers to choose from Reformation, and we'll be telling you more about that throughout the broadcast. Mike Bell, I'll say this, man. Jimmy just put it out there on Twitter to come out here and join us. And a lot of people were saying, oh, I didn't know they were going to be out there. You were telling me, you know, that the traffic up here can be a hassle at times. So get here early and come hang out.
Right. And there's a lot of ways you can do it. We took Uber up there last time, Squid and I. There's still some parking spots available, but it is funky up there parking. So make sure you get yourself up here with plenty of time and take Uber. And then you can kind of, as we did last time, just kind of pub crawl back and hit bars on the way down back. Busby here from the thing with the thing. It's a lot of fun, guys. It's actually more than I ever expected when we went up there because I didn't know much. I had not been to Kennesaw State for football at Fifth Third Bank, but it's an intimate setting. You're right on top of the action. And we went to about a couple matches last year there. We had the CONCACAF against Herediano from Costa Rica.
That's right.
And then we had some U.S. Open Cup action there too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Montagua, I already saw some Montaguans rolling around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's actually a pair hanging out. There's a couple of dudes already tailgating. I was doing some recon up there earlier when I rolled in. So some folks made the trip are either from Honduras, and that's their team. So it's going to be a lot of fun. This has been, some, as we said, a learning curve for soccer fans. United fans know what to expect, but can't wait to see some of the new faces in action, and hopefully we'll get some more information about what Miles Robinson's status is as well.
Jason Longshore set to join us a little bit later on here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, so make sure you stay tuned. Somewhere in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:20, Jason will join us here to talk about this match tonight. And then, while we're talking soccer and Atlanta United, guys, we're excited about this weekend because it kicks off the MLS season. Mike and I headed to Nashville on Friday to do the show live, and then there'll be a special stoppage time with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore from the same location we're broadcasting from. And then, of course, Saturday's the match. Now, today, along the way, we're going to give one lucky listener a chance to win two tickets, bus, round trip to and from, and be a part of the Atlanta United tailgate. As you listen throughout the course of the day, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets by giving you a couple of trivia questions. We'll line you up and do all of that, so stay tuned. But I know, Mike, we've got tickets today and tickets tomorrow to Atlanta United for Nashville this weekend. So we'll be giving those away, so stay tuned. I know guys have been asking about that, and when's that going to happen? We will let you know. All right, guys, today up at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Coach Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff speaking. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and this is always a big day. The days rotate over the years. They could talk on the first day. They could talk on the third day. Today, they happen to speak. And, Mike, we learned a few things that we haven't known. And I think the biggest thing to come out of this is that Thomas Dimitroff, our general manager, has said that Austin Hooper, Devondre Campbell, and Wes Schweitzer will all hit the free agent market, which means the Falcons will not tag them. They will not offer them immediately. This will give these guys an opportunity to see what the marketplace is like. They could come back, but, Mike, is it likely that they will?
Well, that's the question. I mean, we know that Devondre Campbell does a job that maybe sometimes goes a little underappreciated because he's a great job in coverage. He led the team in tackles, had more tackles than Debo last year. But, you know, he's not exactly a household name. Hooper, everybody knows offense. Everybody wants the flash, and Hooper's become a Pro Bowler, and we understand that, you know, obviously you don't want to develop a guy as a mid-round draft pick and then have him just walk. But if there's one I want to keep, it's Devondre. Schweitzer, for all the, you know, the much maligned offensive line plug-in, has kind of answered the bell wherever they put him in, truth be told, in some tough situations. But this just goes back to show you, Carl, I think it gives an indication how strapped we are for cash, barring some really, you know, interesting moves that we may make to cut some salary down.
So the other big decision, and this is interesting, because if you listen to Dukes and Bell, we are adamant about guys earning it, okay? It doesn't mean we don't like them. It doesn't mean we don't appreciate what they do. But we wanted this for Vic Beasley. We wanted it, guys, for like Trufant when their deals came about. To me, Grady Jarrett did earn his, and it was about now pay him accordingly. But Thomas Dimitroff saying today in Indianapolis at the Combine that the Falcons have not decided to pick up Tack McKinley's fifth-year option yet, Mike. And so, ironically, Jason Butt from The Athletic reported that Dan Quinn in his presser said, yes, we will not pick up the fifth-year option. And then he came back and said, well, Thomas did say we're still deciding. So here we go with the team co-builders.
Yeah.
One said one thing today. The other said something else. And now they're both saying, yeah, what he said.
Well, the good news is if either one of these knuckleheads can't figure it out, Rich McKay will tell them how we're going to do it, right? That's what we've learned in the offseason with Arthur Blank. I don't know, man. I mean, like, Tack hasn't done anything worth showing that you want to keep this guy 1 year with 7.5 sacks. He was unhealthy. He's got a shoulder problem, which has continued to have been an issue for this guy. And, again, that's part of the totality of how you evaluate a player. If you're hurt, you can't help me. You're not on the field, you can't do the job. So, right now, Tack is not worth that fifth round, not even close. But, again, whether you it's hubris and these guys want to say, oh, no, we got it right. We got this right. No, you didn't get it right because Tack's not an impactful player, not yet.
No.
And nothing to show that's going to change because you can't coach these guys up on D-line anyway.
Well, here's the thing. Did we learn from our mistakes? Because, listen, the Vic Beasley thing, no matter how he finished last season, it was a mistake to pick that fifth-year option up.
Correct.
We know that. I think most Falcon fans know that now. And so is this them now owning and saying, hey, we made a mistake on that. We're not going to do that again. If we don't think a guy is ready or is going to be what we think he is, we're ready to move on from him. I just hope that's the case. You know, the Austin Hooper thing is curious because, again, it's unusual you draft a guy as high as they did there in the third round, and then now it comes time to pay him. You've developed him. He's going to get paid somewhere, and then you don't pay him.
Well, that's just interesting. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you want to see a guy like that. That's value. I mean, it seems like at the end of the day, he's worked himself up to where now he's worth a $10 million a year tag. He's one of the elite tight ends. Now, we could debate, is he one of the best tight ends in the league? No, but he's scored some touchdowns. He's moved the ball. He's gotten in a rhythm with Matt Ryan. I think, though, now with some of the things we need to do, he's a luxury item. That's why you and I talked about finding one of those 35-year-old tight ends and trying to grind another year out of him, like we used Jacob Tammy as a stopgap the 1 year. So there's other ways to get the tight end position. And when you've got Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, how important is and why would you waste $50 million on a tight end?
What do you guys think? Because I know a lot of Falcon fans have been mixed. And today to hear we're going to let them hit the open market, the Falcons are telling you pretty much these guys are not coming back.
Well, if Devondre Campbell gets an offer from whatever the team is and it's a really, really rich offer, then no, we can't match that. Hooper, we talked about the idea. I mean, do you franchise tag him? Again, that'd be around $10 million or thereabouts. So we don't know because we don't know if Freeman's coming back for the full price. How many other cuts are we going to make that's going to free up some cap space? We've been under the impression this team has done a great job in finding a way to find that money. But everybody who analyzes this stuff says we're finally hitting the wall. Maybe not as bad as the Saints in the last couple of years when they went 7-9 those 3 years,
right.
But we're coming to sort of a reckoning now with the salary cap.
Let me ask you this, too. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live in Kennesaw at Twin Peaks. We're getting ready for tonight's Atlanta United match. It's
by the way,
calf action.
How about the servers in their little soccer outfits?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes.
I hadn't really paid attention. Let me see. Oh, I see the jerseys. Kind
yes.
Of like, well, the half jerseys.
Yes.
Well, if you want to call them that.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are nice. But
those are nice.
Those are nice. We're out here. I'm being very careful, Mike. Very careful.
Right.
We're out here for the match tonight up here at in Kennesaw. But let me ask you this about our tight end. He's got a little bit of an ego. We know this. We know Austin Hooper. And what I'm getting to is, do you really think Austin Hooper is going to be like, yes, I'll come back for less money?
Well, I mean, he definitely has – well, I think all the guys of this generation have rabbit ears. And what I mean by that is they hear everything. They're in tune with social media, with what media is saying about them, because certainly Hooper know what was said about him, the drops in the 17th season. And then after 18, he's like, yeah. Suck it.
Right.
So, yeah. But I mean,
did you see me catch all those balls?
But I mean, this, I have, you know, you got to ask, you know, Dan Quinn and certainly Dirk Cutter about this offense. Can you find comparable production at a cheaper price, you know, in the short term and then draft another tight end? Because I don't know if I want to be attached to a Hooper for that kind of money. I mean, You know, and what if Hooper goes to a team that doesn't have a Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones? What kind of production does he have then?
Right, right. I mean, I just – I'm looking at Hoop, and remember the very condescending comment he made at the Pro Bowl, Mike? I did my part. I caught all the balls they threw to me. I did the extra work.
This could be my last day in a Falcon uniform.
Yeah, he said all these things.
I mean, well, again, and this is his agent told him to say
okay,
that. I don't know.
But now they're going to let him hit the free market. You think he's going to, like – you know, he's going to mellow out and go, well, you know, I really like it here, and I want to come back and be a part of his team.
Well, go be the star without a guy named Matt Ryan throwing you footballs. That's, you know, there is the rub. So we'll see. I just do know that
you sound like you're sick of him.
I'm just not surprised that we're basically telling all these guys, go make a deal, you know, because we're top-heavy. We knew this was coming. We knew this day was coming. We've been told, oh, no, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And maybe they do, but that is some sort of an indicator that you're saying you're letting some of your best players, you know, go find a better deal.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. 404-741-0929. Again, live in Kennesaw. We got plenty to get to. Always brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Now, there is another big story that we got to talk about today. And it's only big because I think this is the first time we've gotten any insight into how injured Freddie Freeman was. And it's an article by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. He's down there at spring training talking about Freddie taking painkillers right before games, trying to just get out there, Mike. Now, we know he wasn't right for the playoffs, but this is the first time that he's talked about the extent of these injuries and how they affected him last season.
Yeah, as we said before with Freddie, you knew something just wasn't right, and especially after, you know, late in the season, that wrist, the forearm, just something just looked funky with the elbow. Yeah, man, he's a warrior. He's a tough guy. He wasn't going to sit there and put it out there. Now we know the truth of just how severe it was. And, I mean, that's even more credit to Freddie for doing as well as he did based on the circumstances he was dealing with.
Freddie last year, when you talk about, you know, the right elbows that we're talking about, and it affected his swing. And so, you know, he tells Jeff Schultz about all the things he was trying to do. And he said, sometimes when I take those painkillers too close to the game, it would make my vision go blurry. So he couldn't do that even though he was in pain. So what do? You just try to ride it out. And that's kind of what he did last year. I guess the thing for me is, don't you have a little bit more respect for him, understanding to the
extent totally
what this
we think of baseball players as, you know, as puskators, and football players, the guys that shoot it up, tape it up, and get out there. And here is what Freddie was trying to do. You know, and again, there's, I don't know what kind of painkillers they were, but obviously some serious stuff if you can't see the fastball coming.
No doubt. So more on this coming up, because it is intriguing and fascinating in many ways. And again, you know, this is the guy that makes it go. We need him as healthy as possible. We need Freddie Freeman to be the guy. And we've talked about Acuna and Ozzy and even Ozuna, the newest member of our team. That's all great, but Freddie's the guy. So more on this to come, guys. We're live in Kennesaw. Coming up, how in the hell did the Hawks lose last night after cutting that lead and cutting it close? 28 points, 10 assists by Trey, but it wasn't enough. And, Mike, we get back to adjustments by our coach. We're going to get into that when we come back. It's Dukes and Bell live in Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We are live in Kennesaw. It's Twin Peaks. That's the location. We are inviting you out, should I say. Come on out and hang out with us before tonight's Atlanta United match.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can wrap this round up, Mike, and move on. And listen, for going on the road on that first leg, I thought we played really well, not knowing a whole lot about the guys that we're going to play.
Right. And if you guys have been following soccer here, for those that are new to it, the CONCACAF is the Champions League. It's the top four teams from each league in the Western Hemisphere, Central America and North America, I should say. South America has their own thing, which is a big, big, giant competition. We're growing ours. We've only had the MLS now for 25 years. But when we went down to Costa Rica, if you were watching it last year, you're like, holy crap, we're getting mugged. We look like the Allies with Pele and Sylvester Stallone going up against the Germans in that movie Victory. It's like, wow, this is some one-sided stuff. And then you realize that the home team gets the calls, and in Central America with Central American refs, it's generally one-sided. So we took a beating down in Costa Rica, came back and whooped them at Fifth Third Bank where we're playing tonight. As Carl mentioned, we go down to a tough environment. The grass is almost like calf high.
It's like a meadow. It's like a deep rough.
Right. And U.S. men's team struggled down there against the Honduran national team in that same stadium. But we go in there. We get all the bad calls. We got our guys getting mugged. We get yellow cards for nothing. And we're able to eke out a 1-1 draw. And in some cases, had two golden opportunities to take maybe even more road points. So we got a road goal in that competition. It's huge. So they've got to come here and score a bunch of goals. Or we could just simply finish a scoreless draw, a tie. we advance. And we got a chance to play Club America, who we played last year, which was awesome, in the Campeones Cup at Mercedes-Benz. Right. So one of the historical teams in Mexico, a chance to go down and play in the big stadium, El Azteca, down there in Mexico.
Hear what Brad Guzan has to say about playing at Fifth Third Bank Stadium coming up as part of our headline segment in just a little bit. I just want to recap, if you're just joining us, and I think this is going to be something we'll be talking about all day and probably into the weekend as – you know, the Falcons are trying to figure out who they want to look at, and we'll talk more about that in the Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock. But Thomas says one thing, Dan Quinn says another when it comes to whether or not they're going to exercise the fifth-year option on Tack McKinley. And Mike and I were just having this conversation off air. It just looks crappy when you have two guys who have said we're team co-builders.
Right.
Okay? This is their words, not ours. And when these decisions are made, we are team co-builders. We come together and we make these decisions. And then you had our GM say today that we have not made a decision on Tack McKinley. And we had our head coach in the same press conference, or you know, right after, say we've made a decision and we're not picking up the fifth-year option. Then he backed it back, Mike, and said, wait a minute, Thomas is right. We've not yet made a decision. So which one is it?
Yeah, Thomas said, still deciding, followed up with the team, did our buddy Jason Butt from The Athletic, and the stance is that Dan Quinn misinterpreted the question. So okay. You could argue that we're talking about semantics here. But
how many more guys do you know are named Tack McKinley?
I
only know one.
I just think this is kind of a further continuation of our great debate and our great confusion about left hand, right hand, and do they know what they're doing? And what is that decision-making process? We've joked around about that flow chart up at Flowery Branch for 3 years, and now we've added a new component where Rich McKay will be the arbiter if these guys can't figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, the optics are kind of funky, but, you know, to me, this is the dysfunction of this team and why we haven't gone to the playoffs the last two seasons.
Yeah, listen, the last thing I want to be doing is talking about management. Okay?
Yeah.
Because this is the part that's supposed to be fixed.
Well, Dan wants – here's the thing now. We've talked about the 2016 draft where we presume because Dan's a defensive coach, he had more input. However they decided on those players, it was great. We got four starters that year, including Poole, who was an undrafted free agent. But, of course, you know, we talked about Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal, and Debo. We rode those guys all the way to the Super Bowl. But then since then, these drafts have been spotty at best. You know, with one or two guys. And then we talked about Hooper as a third rounder, and that's awesome. Then we get Deidrin Sonata, third rounder, he's not even on the field.
Yeah.
Don't even dress. So I'm hoping that these guys knock it out of the park. And that's the thing. You know, fingers crossed, Carl, that you, let's be honest, exceed expectations, beat the odds, and find two more starters in this year's draft. You know, I mean, it doesn't always happen.
If I'm Coach Quinn, I'm motivated more than ever to prove everybody that this was the right decision. Because right now, let's be honest, if we were to take random polls on the streets of Atlanta, I don't know if it would be an overwhelming support. This decision was made, and we're backing it because this is our team and this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But for Dan Quinn, Mike, he's got to come back, let's be honest, and impress us. You can't have this team make all the changes you made, say it's on me, lose seven in a row, and then we get to the offseason and now you can't even get your statements right.
It's playoffs or bust. And here we are at the combine. We're rolling into, before you know it, it's March here. And then we got the free agent moves and the roster moves as the season, the NFL season begins. So, yeah, an inauspicious start to
right.
what we're
right.
But, again, I read this. It's just funny. You go to Jason Budd on Athletic. Dan Quinn just said Tack McKinley's fifth-year option will not be picked up. I asked Thomas Dimitroff. He says no decision has been made. I asked DQ. He said they weren't picking it up. Another reporter followed up with DQ on what Thomas said. Here we go. DQ said to go with what Thomas said.
Right.
Still deciding.
What he said. Oh, what did he say? Oh, what did he say?
Well, you just told us that we're not picking up the fifth-year option. All right. Well, either way, I mean, it's just you want to start playing the Benny Hill music? I mean, because that's what we're dealing with.
That's what it sounds like. All right, what do you guys think, man? Appreciate all the texts and tweets coming in. Guys hitting us up. Follow us, 929 The Game. That's our radio station. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. That's one of our Twitter followers said. He said, fellas, this is the problem with our front office. I don't want to go there. I don't even want to talk about that. Can we talk about what guys are going to make our team better? These are simple decisions that should have been made, and these should be on point right now.
Right.
You got to go to Indy on the same page, and this is not that hard.
Well, here's the deal. We do feel there's a number of big-time pass rushers, defensive ends, edge rushers, outside linebackers, however you want to qualify it, Do you go best athlete where we're picking at 16? We're going to see now. This is where we're going to see in the next few days all those same names that you Falcon fans have been looking at like we have, like the Espinosa out of Iowa. We talked about there's the kid Weaver out of Boise State. So there's a bunch of guys out there that you start saying, okay, maybe this guy will follow the Falcons or not. So I do think we got to get edge rush, but can you find a way to get that guard figured out between Jake Matthews and Alex Mack? Because in 16, we scored so many points, other teams had to chase and throw, and that's how we got all those sacks. So what do you say, brother? You say offensive line, best athlete. We got two, remember, two second-round picks. Yep. We got the Patriots pick from the Mohamed Sanu trade.
As bad as our defense was, we got to go up front, man. We got to get some help for Grady and company up front. I mean, we're going to have these rotational guys. All right. Those guys, ironically, you ran out of town last week.
The Legion of Meth.
Yeah, all those guys, we're going to have some of those rotation guys back, but we got to get better up front. I mean, I don't think it's not even a secret. Like go ask anybody around the league that follows the NFL. They go, Falcons?
D-line.
Falcons?
Yeah.
Defense.
Well, but you got a defensive coach. Dan Quinn's calling card, he's a defensive line coach in the NFL. You know, I mean, I guess when you got Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill and Bruce Irvin and those great corners and safeties, it's a little bit easier to be a defensive coordinator. We have got a great defense in 17. 17's the year the offense went backwards with Sarkisian. You know, and then this last year, we don't have to tell you guys, you saw it. Defense was just completely lost, and that's when they flip-flopped all the coaches, and Arthur said he saw enough in the second half for Dan to be back. So, but I do think it's playoffs or bust. Arthur said as much himself.
This is the most important offseason, period. We still have so much talent on this team. We are not void of talent.
No, we got a bunch of – but here's the thing. There's a lot of teams that have a lot of talent that don't put it together. And those are teams that we look at and go, oh, look at so-and-so spinning their wheels.
Coaching.
Bingo.
Coaching. All right, man. We got more to get to with the Falcons. That's how this day has started. We'll see what else comes out of the combine. Craig back at the studio, our engineer, Bo Morgan on site producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start with Brad Guzan talking about playing up here in Kennesaw tonight at Fifth Third Bank Stadium.
Certainly a stadium that we enjoy. It's an intimate ground, you know, where the fans are kind of right on top of us, and we like that. I think it causes a bit of an imposing feeling on our opponents, and the field is always in good shape.
Now, Mike, the thing I do think with this roster that we've put together, mm-hmm. we've always talked about this over the last few years, and we'll talk more with Jason Longshore coming up at 420, about formations. Oh, what's the formation? What does it matter? Here's what I'm thinking, and what I'm seeing at least in this first match, and I think it'll play out tonight. We have a lot of flexibility with the combinations of players. I don't know if that's going to be as big of a deal as we maybe made it going from Tata to Frank DeBoer.
Right.
But now that this is Frank DeBoer's team, year two, I'm just saying, man, I'm looking at the roster and I'm going, there's a lot of flexibility here.
Yeah, man, and certainly, you know, it's funny. Remember, when you do the combinations, it all has to add up to 10. So if you go 3 and 4, 2, 1. So you can still add up to 10. But the point being is you get the Pitty, Joseph, and Barco working together up front. And we've got some young guys. We've got some new faces working in. We've got some guys we added. You know, Brooks Lennon coming in, going to do the work that Julian Gressel did. I thought Escobar did a nice job down in Honduras. Didn't have our best defender. Didn't have the guy the jersey I'm wearing, Miles Robinson. So it's another thing. We get him back, get him ready for Nashville on Friday night. We'll talk to Jason about all that. But you're right. We've got flexibility, and we've got more speed than we've had in years past.
Is that new jersey, by the
no,
way?
No, this is from last year. By the way, Adidas, can you get your together and get these jerseys out?
Okay.
It's not on the United, because I've talked to the folks at the United store down at Atlantic Station.
They're backlogged?
Yeah, I talked to my buddy at Lloyd's, the store up on Medlock Bridge that has the personalized jerseys. Adidas can't make the new stuff quick enough, the new white jerseys with the gold. So let's go, Adidas. Come on. I can't speak for these other jerkwater cities that are MLS, but we care about this stuff here. We want the new swag.
Make sure you're listening tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we mentioned, more with Jason Longshore coming up. Meanwhile, we talked about Thomas in the comments. Here's the other thing we learned today. They are going to let Hooper and Devondre Campbell, and Wes Schweitzer all hit the market. Here's exactly what Thomas said today to the media in Indianapolis.
We're going to let him get to the market, as tough as that is. And I want to stress, that doesn't mean we're not interested in having him back. It doesn't mean we're not going to continue our negotiations with Steve Carrick. Our reality is we need to see what the market is to gauge where we're going to go.
Okay.
Oh, you know what the market is.
Yeah, okay, so Hooper, $50 million. Devondre, $45 million.
You know what the market
is. I mean, that's about right, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what he's saying with the salary cap going up for teams upwards of $200 million. I just I think they know, and this is a nice way to play it, Mike.
Am I, by the way, is that a low number for Devondre? What would Devondre? I said $45 million. Yeah, thereabouts. But that's my financial advisor, Squid Billy.
Yeah, we're talking about, are we talking about guarantees?
Yeah, talking about like the package, what the package of the deal would look like. So here's the deal. You want to develop a guy as a third rounder just to have him skate, just walk on you, and you don't get anything? That's why people were saying while the season was going south, why don't we just trade Hooper last year? Then you could get something for him. It's kind of like the Hawks with, you know, back in the day with Al Horford.
Well, Horford and Paul. Let's hear from Dan Quinn. Ask the question. He was asked about the run game and how the run game can be better.
Listen. First is volume. And over the first 7 or 8 games, I think we ended up averaging about 16 runs a game. And over the next 8 or 9 games, it was about 23 runs a game. So some of that starts with volume. In other words, given opportunities, given chances to get going. We want to make sure that we're really consistent to the style and the wide zone that we'd like to play. And now the play passes come off of that. So those two things in particular, the run game and the play action passing game, those are the things that have to mesh. When you want your run game to be at the best, that better happen too. And so we've already focused a lot of time on that, you know, as a coaching staff during the offseason. That'll continue when the players come back through OTAs.
That's a great answer. Here, let me help you guys. Run the ball more.
Right.
That's all you got. Run the ball more. That's a nice answer.
More headlines coming up as the Sixers and the Hawks. Hawks battled back, had a big deficit, blew the lead. We'll tell you more about it. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw getting ready for some CONCACAF action with the Five Stripes.
Hey, Gym of the Week and your chance to win a $100 Salomon Brothers gift card coming up next. NFL Blitz on the way. More comments from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. Okay. We are Dukes and Bell, and we are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw today, guys. Atlanta United back in action, CONCACAF, leg 2. Got to give a big shout-out to Ryan. Is he already split already? Is he over there at the bar? Ryan's at the bar. His name's Ryan Hendricks. And big mortgage guy, Mike, big listener of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and a big fan of Dukes and Bell. Randall Watson, he's a big Georgia guy, too, so he says he loves Randy McMichael. But thank you for coming out and hanging out with us, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, we got some guys we can't say where they're at because they're supposed to be on the clock, but they're also here and loyal listeners, which is kind of cool, including some local law enforcement off duty right now.
You know what? That's just not right.
Well, I'm telling you what the man told me he does for a living.
Hey, let's talk to a guy. Last time we saw this guy, he was drenched in sweat, and he was puffing like he had just worked out in a CrossFit workout. And this guy ended up winning our paper football championship. We told you guys the winner would ultimately be on the show with Dukes and Bell. And today we finally got it worked out with our winner. And if you were out there that night, Roderick killed it. He was out there just beating guys up, Mike, playing paper football. It's good to have you, man. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I know Mike and I were wondering about this. I think that night we asked you, we said, how much did you practice? And you said?
I don't practice at all.
This guy's won this thing. This guy has been in the finals, and you're telling me you're not like in a basement, just working out on a ping pong table or something.
Nope, I don't.
Now, if you watched the competition, if you were there at the night of the event, which we had a ball at, down at Stars and Strikes, we did these promos leading up to the event, making fun of football players using their fingers in paper football. Like, oh, I got a cramp, coach. I got a cramp. Well, you literally had an injury issue. Talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I went to the doctor yesterday, and not because of this, because my wife had to go.
Yeah, right.
But I asked her, and she said, I asked her the nerves in the finger, and she said that there are. And she said if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, it can cause problems, and that's what I've been having problems with here lately.
So you're going to lose the finger?
No.
Could this your last competition?
Oh, no.
You'll never play paper football again? Will you have to go to lefty?
No, I use the same finger. I might just tape it up.
Because we thought you burst your cuticle. And Roderick, by the way, is our $1,000 winner of our paper football challenge. And he also gets a chance to come on Dukes and Bell. We're like, literally, he's sitting here. Carl, he's shaking it out. His wife's like, you okay, baby? You okay, baby? I mean, we didn't know if he could continue.
Yeah, she was thinking about half that money is what she was thinking about.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Roderick, what do you do, man, for a living? And I know you listen to 92.9 The Game, obviously, because you wouldn't have known about the competition. What do you do?
I drive a truck for a living. I bought my own truck about 3 years ago.
Okay.
So it has me in and out of town all the time.
And so you deliver things or?
Yeah, anywhere from hazardous material to jet engines, just anything.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Military loads, stuff like that.
All right.
So Smokey the Bandit, not bringing any contraband course east of the Mississippi, though, right?
That's just, nah.
Okay.
So you're all over the place. All right. We're visiting with Roderick because we told him we'd get him on. As you can see, he's a very shy guy, man. This is right. How he was the night he won the competition. He just ran through the competition and then had nothing to say after. We're like, yeah, you're the champ. Roderick, what do you think?
Thank you.
Very low key. He's so, like Marvin Harrison in that sense.
He really
very
is.
Low key.
He really is. So I see you got your Falcons hat on, man. I want to ask you this before we let you get out of here. What do they got to do? What do they got to do? In your opinion, as a Falcon fan, what do they have to do?
Well, they got rid of one person. That was Vic Beasley. They got to get rid of Devontae Freeman, even though I like him, but he's injury prone.
Hard choices.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they got to get rid of Trufant. He just ain't no good.
You know, it seems like Roderick and I are on the same page here. Our man on the street, in this case, our man on the interstate.
Does he sit in your section? That
no, I'm just nodding to everything Roderick's saying. Like, yes, check
did
that,
you,
yes.
Did he write that down for you?
No.
Roderick, this comes from your heart. I in no way coached you in this
nope.
segment. Thank you very much.
That sounded,
how dare you?
It sounded just like you.
Speak for the people, Carl.
You were over at the bar a little bit earlier, right? You guys were kind of mingling. What the
no.
hell is
no,
going on?
No, I'm just this man. There's no notes. This guy, that's coming from the heart. I said we shouldn't have given Trufant that deal. We should have made him sing for his supper.
Well, but after he left, after he watched Nick Chubb run at him and then run past him, and then he tried to chase him down, I mean, it's just like he's scared of tackling anybody. So he just ain't no good.
Yeah, that was an ugly game. That was the Browns game.
Yep.
That was the year before when it went downhill.
We beat the Redskins. We had won a couple of games, and then that's when the wheels came off. Yeah, yep. Man. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We appreciate you being a loyal listener. Congratulations on the money. By the way, did you do anything special with it?
Well, you know, the first one that I won – she took the money and put it down on
okay,
the house that we got.
You know what? Listen to
the
you.
Wife took the money. It was a lesson for you millennials out there. You know?
But wait, did you hear Mike? Yeah.
The first one I won.
Yeah, he's multiple. He's a multiple champion.
And so that was the first year. What'd you do this year?
Well, the second one, she took half of it and paid some bills, and then she gave me the rest to do what I wanted to do.
There okay. you go.
That's yeah. what's up. Pink Pony, what? Okay. Roderick, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate you coming out.
Well, I got to say this. It's a lot of my friends out there that are saying, oh, that I played that in high school. I could beat you and this and that. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. It ain't that easy to come out there and play. And there's a lot of people. This year was the hardest year.
It's pressure.
And there are a lot of people, a lot more competition this year.
Well,
a lot of
you
rounds.
Started it the second year,
mm-hmm.
saying and telling everybody I won it the first time, and I took it for granted. And then I lost in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But then the year before last, I lost in the Elite Eight because of sudden death. So I had to eliminate that sudden death. So that's what I did when I started kicking the field goals.
See?
Take the points.
He had a tactical plan, man.
No, you got to take the points.
He's better clock management than Dan Quinn. This guy knows when to kick the field goal.
Quinn, take
this
the
guy
points.
Knows when to go for it.
It's simple.
Yep, but they sit up there and say it's easy. Or they can come out there. Well, they ain't came out there yet. Mm-hmm. And if they come out there, it ain't going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that,
right.
man.
Well, $2,000 winner. That's why we don't use his last name because IRS ain't touching that, Carl. We just call him Roderick. That's not even
anyway.
His real name.
Hey, his wife already said it's gone anyway. They can come here, but they ain't getting nothing.
Yeah, they ain't getting nothing.
So, hey, man, have a great day. Thank you again for listening to 929 The Game and making us the number one sports station. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks.
But the finger is going to heal. You will be back to defend your title.
I mean, I'll be back, but I might put some tape over it because – the thing is, you keep hitting it in that same spot.
We're a year away, Roger.
You got to tape up, man. Ice up, son.
Yeah, but the thing is, it keep free. When it gets cold, that's the first thing on my finger that gets it
starts. You know what?
Free.
You lied. You've been practicing
no.
hard, and it's
no.
now your finger's about to
no.
fall off.
No, it's not that. And I got my son was there, so I got him in training. But I don't play it at all.
So if it's ACLU, what is that? Index finger IFLU?
Did you just hear what he said?
Yes.
He's got his son in training.
Yeah, he lost in the first round. And the thing is, when you're kicking field goals, you got to injure somebody. Y'all referee,
yes. right?
He had the marks on his arm. I was trying to – and then Mike said, he got him in the face. And I was trying to tune that out.
It was funny.
So, again, he's trying to punish his opponent and mentally get in his head and dominate. That's why this guy's a two-time champion of our paper football league right here, Carl.
Roderick, man, thank you again for stopping by. Good stuff, and we hope to see you again next year.
I'll be there.
All right,
all
man.
Tape
all right,
up.
Thanks.
There you go.
Good
all
stuff.
Right.
Last night, guys, we didn't get a chance to mention this. We do want to get to it. And by the way, speaking of the Hawks, Hawks fans, tune in to the morning show each Thursday at 7:40 a.m. That's John and Hugh interview, Coach Lloyd Pierce, brought to you by BMW. But last night, Mike, the Hawks were down by 19. I had some stuff going on last night. Literally turned on the TV. I just said, 76ers, let me see what's going on. They were down 19 at half. And then I tweeted it out, really? And guys were like, oh, they'll come back. And they did. But ultimately, we lose 129-112.
Yeah, we scored 40 in the third quarter. John Collins with 21. DeAndre Hunter with 22. Trey goes with 28. Cam, 10 last night. But unfortunately, just there were some decisions Lloyd Pierce made. We'll get more in-depth in it later in the show. But there were some things which kind of left you scratching your head with a game you could have won last night.
Well, hear what Dan Quinn wants, because today he told us at the Combine exactly what he's looking for.
Does it match up with what Dimitrov is looking for?
Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's Andy and Randy. Weekdays 10 till 2.
Widespread panic or fish?
Fish all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.